Hello, and welcome to the Full Circle Healing Podcast, where we merge modern, cutting-edge science with traditional healing wisdom and everything in between to help you come full circle back to your original, natural state of health and well-being. I'm your host, Michael, and over the past 15 years, I've helped hundreds of thousands of people find their information, practices, tools, resources, and experts they needed to find their way back to optimal health. Our guest in this episode is Christopher Blakeslee, a fantastic health practitioner with the most incredible story of healing I've ever come across. Christopher is the founder of Recovery Health Coaching, where he helps clients recover from chronic illness and relieve their chronic pain. His methods use principles from neuroscience, behavior management, mindset work, and personalized lifestyle and supplement approaches from a functional health perspective. He developed this system while reversing his 35 years of autoimmunity and severe neuropathic pain and working successfully with over 100 clients now to help them do the same. He co-hosts the weekly podcast Recover Your Health, where he shares proven strategies for navigating challenging health scenarios. Additionally, Christopher is writing a book with former Mayo Clinic doctor Jim Lemons about reversing chronic health problems. In this episode, you're going to learn how tracking symptoms and lifestyle factors can help identify triggers and speed up healing. You'll learn the essential lifestyle changes that form the foundation of lasting health improvements, regardless of where you're starting from. You'll learn how understanding the brain's pain response can reshape your recovery experience and lead to breakthroughs. Finally, you'll learn that no matter how bad things seem right now, how hopeless, healing is always possible. Christopher's story is proof. You will not find a more inspiring story of regaining one's health and vitality after decades of debilitating pain and chronic symptoms. And the fact that Christopher has turned his experience into a gift by helping others who find themselves struggling is something very special. If you enjoy what you learn here and want to get started on some basic nervous system regulation, which you'll learn about more in a moment, head over to rebelhealth.co/breathing to grab my Breathing for Nervous System Regulation ebook. Now let's jump in with Christopher. Hey, Christopher, welcome back. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me here. It's always great to be here. I'm so excited to dive into this topic today.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And it's interesting because, welcome back. This is a brand new podcast. It's the first time you've been on this podcast, but we've had another podcast and some other types of interview platforms that we've done in the past. And you've been on those and shared your pretty remarkable story. I've heard a lot of healing stories over the last 15 years of being in health and wellness and fitness. And I still haven't heard one that comes close to yours. And it's really inspiring. And, I know, I think I said this last time, I'm not happy that you had to go through that. Like, I would never wish that on anybody. And like the outcome of what came of it is really special. And I think can only come from that. And so, let's
very much agree.
We're going to talk about some universal aspects of healing chronic illness and reversing chronic illness, and also kind of the order in which it's best to do some of those things. But first, if there's anybody out there who hasn't listened to the other podcasts, I just want to have you share a little bit about your story, and we will link down below the other podcast episodes. So we have a two-part podcast. It's like 2 hours total on his story alone. So we'll link that down below. I highly, highly recommend going to give it a listen when you're done with this. It'll give so much more, context and positioning and like understanding of where Christopher came from. But let's just do the abbreviated version now. Sure. Before we get into the teaching.
Yeah. The quick low lights.
Yeah.
But thanks. I really wish I hadn't gone through all that, but it positioned me so well in this space now to help other people that I don't regret a thing of what I went through, even though it went on so long. So yeah, I got into this line of work out of necessity just to help myself, because it was a seemingly endless downward spiral, just severe symptoms, multiple conditions, excruciating pain. It's just kind of weird because I feel so great now and my life is so wonderful that it actually takes some effort to remember that that happened to me now, because like 7 years now on this road, it's pretty amazing to me those things could go away. And, you know, we could spend all day on this, but just the quick version of it is pretty much started at the beginning. I've traced it back enough now where, like, the chronic ear infection started when I was 2, and antibiotics were creeping in. Age 5, first symptoms of interstitial cystitis, and then things like fibromyalgia crept in, just hurting all over the place. Irritable bowel syndrome, where I had special permission to go to the bathroom all throughout school because it just was having to go all the time. And because of that, I was always limited, just as far back as I can remember. And I accepted that as my lot in life when I was about 10, which I think now in retrospect, like I've sorted things out a bit more since we originally talked. I think that was really important for surviving all the really bad times ahead, because it was just the norm. It was part of existence for me. So I learned to roll with the punches no matter how bad it got. And whenever the really bad stuff started, it's like, well, okay, it's just another step. We're going to get through this. And then, of course, it became chronic whenever I was a sophomore in high school, just every day when I was like 15, 16, even though there were tons of symptoms before. Then had a bit of a rallying point, but really barely made it through college. There were some better lifestyle stuff and some also things that come with college that weren't so good that were going on there. And then health just total collapse right around 04, whenever I was getting done with school. And that's where the real horror story started, because as limited as everything was before that, it's just pain and hypersensitivity. Ended up lying down all day, getting so out of shape, gained over 100 pounds at least, because if you recall, I stopped weighing because I just didn't think I was going to get out of it there. I ended up shrinking about 3 inches off my height just because my spine got so kyphotic from leaning forward all day long, being in the same sitting position over 30 hours a day there. Well, a day whenever I was awake, because just couldn't sleep. I was in so much pain and just buzzing throughout my body, burning throughout my body. Later on, I found out I ended up with damage to nerve endings in about 80-85% of my body. Was trying everything that I could during that, because it's just the pain and the hypersensitivity was off the charts. Just couldn't watch TV anymore, couldn't listen to music, just felt like I was getting stabbed all over the place. Just ended up retreating, tried that near year-long sensory isolation as best as I could approximate in the home, laying in bed, white noise machine in the dark all day long, just having my mom bring food into me once a day, trying to go outside to the bathroom with my eyes closed so I wouldn't get any light. Just so many things now that it feels like a different lifetime. It was agony at the time, and it's so nice to have a quiet body.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I know my wife went through some really horrific autoimmune flares that involved like excruciating full body pain. And I know, as the caretaker and observer and up close witness of like what that means and what comes along with that, it's not just the pain, it's the exhaustion. It's like exhausting to be in pain, and it's so exhausting mentally and physically and emotionally, and the sleep. Yeah. It disrupts sleep, and then you're like exhausted from no sleep and the stress of, am I going to get better? And like that makes it worse. And then it's this, really, really, like, I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And then since we've last talked, I had my first experience with severe nerve pain. I had a herniated disc, in my neck. And one night I woke up at 3 a.m. and just had insane pain shooting down my arm and down the left side of my body into my fingers and like my back. And like, it was so, I was so confused. And then it just kept going and kept getting worse. And after about 8 days of not being able to move or do anything, I went to the hospital. I ended up getting MRIs. I did all this stuff. Luckily, I have a really good network of smart people and rehab specialists who are outside the box and nerve knowledge about the nervous. I was able to get it under control like relatively quickly versus how long that usually lasts. But it was It was a humbling experience. Nerve pain is no joke. Like, it's so much different than I've had a lot of injuries. I played sports. I've broken a bone. I've like gotten sprains. I've hurt muscles. I've gotten bruises, you know, all of that. You can avoid making that hurt. Like, you can like not move in a certain way or move in a different way or sit in a certain way. Like, you can figure out a way, which usually has some sort of consequences later, but you can figure out a way to adjust the way that you move or be or whatever to avoid most like musculoskeletal pain. And then those adjustments, you know, lead to over time, like imbalances and problems. But with nerve pain, I was not able to do that. Like, it didn't matter. Yeah. There were things that would make it worse, but nothing that made it go away. Like, I couldn't be pain-free. Sure. And that was the first time in my life where, like, I was laying motionless on my back in a bed, and there was just pain shooting through my body. And I was like, huh. I actually thought of you at one point, and I was like, I couldn't imagine this being all over. And it was like a quarter of my body, and it was like I turned into a toddler. I was like, somebody help me.
It's understandable. It's just the waves of pain and how intense that all can be, because it's like, oh, when you've really been through it, there's the hot pain, there's the cold pain, there's like it starts dropping out, there's needles. And I even got down to where I've systematized so much of this, it's like I hear a client talk and like, oh, you're in like stage two, okay, I got a good idea what interventions
you've got. The
might
lightning
work.
Electricity pain you've got. But I didn't mean to interrupt your story. I didn't have any personal experience with nerve pain when we talked before, and now I do, and I'm not happy that I did, but it gave me a lot of perspective as to like what that is and what it means and what it feels like. So that's your fibromyalgia type pain, and it was pretty gnarly.
Right. It can just be off the charts. Tell people that it was like the whole end of Braveheart, William Wallace, he can't scream at the end, because like that would take too much effort and I'd flex stuff that would make it worse. So I'm just going to,
I hear you. Not do that. And I would before, because it didn't take my body very long to learn the things not to do that made it worse. Like the movements within a few days, I adjusted the way that I moved like completely to minimize those like moments where you takes your breath away from the pain. The body adjusts like really quickly. But if I screwed up and like instinctually like reached for a thing or wasn't careful, it was like I wouldn't have been able to scream like a couple times. Like it was,
could just be that.
So
bad.
That was in your 20s. That was after college. That was around 2004 or 2005. It got that bad.
30s.
Right?
Yeah. It went on.
20s, 30s. How long would you say you were in that level of?
Gosh. So about 15 years it was like that. And there was just no break from it. And morphine just barely touched it. Like I was on 15 meds at the max.
Did they give you the gabapentin?
Yeah, I tried. I mean, there's at this point, it's like I have only things I haven't tried are all the drugs that are new. Because
did any of the nerve drugs help you? Because they gave me nerve drugs and I hated them. Like,
yeah,
I felt
I was
terrible.
Happy to take like one number off my pain for an hour because it was so bad. Where I was like, okay, give them to me while I'm trying all the other holistic stuff and whatnot.
I just noticed really severe side effects from them. I felt like depressed and dumb, and like, because they don't mention that, but it screws with your neurotransmitters. So
totally. And really, like, I started, because it just kept going for so long, I started turning it around January 16th, 2017. So over 7.5 years
of
recovery. That was whenever I was on the immunosuppressant drug, which was one of the things that they said, last line intervention, you're just not moving, you can't do anything, let's try it. And I thought, okay. And that's when I started losing the vision. I started seeing the black spots and just shook nonstop all night. And I thought, okay, as grounded as I've been, I think this might actually be the end for me. So that's whenever I decided radical changes. And where I basically the birth of the system I use now with myself and all my clients. So it's those four pillars of things: lifestyle changes, mindset work, neuroscience techniques, and then functional health protocols. and just breaking down those lifestyle changes a little bit into six categories. I throw diet and supplementation in there together, stress management, exercise, sleep and sunshine, then reducing environmental toxin exposure and minimal reliance on medications, because like you said, those, every one of them comes with a consequence. So I started trying to simultaneously address all that and stop as many medications as possible. And as you know, I only got medication free last year.
So that would be another three or another 6 years from when you started to make the radical changes. It took you 6 years to get off all the meds. You had a pretty long list, I remember you telling me at one point.
Yeah, so many. Two narcotics, three muscle relaxers, all sorts of other crazy things. But now I'm sure none of it's coming back for me. And like I was saying to you the other day, I don't consider myself cured, even though I'm symptom-free and pain-free now, 13 months. I just feel like I've buried it all because I've learned what my triggers are to such a degree. And that's part of what we're going to talk about here is just figuring out what all's contributing to things. And I can just fight it off. It's like Neo from the Matrix at the end. It's like, just, I have like one hand behind my back and I can just casually bat it all away now. It's like, oh, I know all that stuff. It's just not coming back.
Before we get, that's a good analogy. Before we get into, you know, these universals of reversing chronic illness, I'm curious what you figured out, and this is obviously different. There are also universal drivers of chronic illness, like things that are bad for everyone, but not everyone has the same combination of life circumstances or exposures or whatever. So not everyone will encounter everything on that list if they were to get sick and have problems. But what did you kind of figure out, or what have you decided or determined were either root causes or drivers that got you to that place for 15 years? Like what have you figured out that were your, I guess it would be the opposite of, or no, it'd be like kryptonite. Yeah, right? That's a Superman analogy. I'm not very good at comic books, but it's the thing that makes Superman sick, right? So what was your combo?
It was definitely starting with the gut health component, just knowing that my family's so close. We talk about everything and such, that my mom had really bad gut health, had just such a bad gallbladder infection that she almost died before I was age two. Other siblings born with gut stuff is something that was talked about around the dinner table. And then I started getting all the antibiotics, and I am so sure that that shifted things, where just the headaches, all sorts of things. And then the stress of not knowing what I was dealing with, just being that sick kid and being so different from everybody else. And when I talked about that, just the shunning that would happen, and that I learned to just stuff it away. And it was just a fireball of stress all those years. Like, people thought I was super calm, and I was just frenzied on the inside, trying to not let anybody know anything about me. And just, and my habits too. I was not a very physical kid because of that, and that really caused things to explode, as I've seen now, where you couldn't get me away from the gym for all the good things it's done for me, whereas I used to just sit around and play video games and hide indoors and never get out in the sun. So my lifestyle was pretty busted, and I think because the symptoms very much drove me there.
So it was kind of a self-perpetuating loop then at that point. I don't feel good when I do things, so I don't do things. And then that makes me feel less good, and then more disconnected and not, because I mean, connection and community and things like that are kind of a nutrient also. And so you're lacking that, the sunlight, the nature, and then, but it didn't feel good to be outside doing things. So it's like chicken, egg, catch 22. Yeah, I've done a lot of study the last 6 years on you mentioned like inner rage, inner emotions, inner anxiety, inner like was one, it was all inside. And it, like that in and of itself, I firmly believe can drive a lot of disease process in the body too. And not having an outlet for not having the, like being able to express your own truth or inner experience and having to suppress it and keep it down and whatever, it takes a lot of energy.
Right.
And so
it does. It's a nonstop fire. Like in those client cases where the needle's not moving, where you see everything's perfect, you definitely need to start asking those questions about what's going on in somebody's head. So I start there. I even tell people that, hey, you can tell me anything, because just having somebody to hear that and normalize it a little bit, that's one of the reasons why I knew I had to go into this line of work. As soon as I saw, hey, I'm really getting better, this would be a really good spot for me, because just decades of going through that to know where I can just tell people what they're thinking without them saying it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, you have those,
it's familiar to you. The territory is familiar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of,
but that's how it became a passion project for me.
Well, passion project into now budding career. So, there's pretty well documented, you know, correlations now between certain things like that and chronic disease. I've studied with Gabor Mate a lot, and I'm actually going to a conference this weekend when we're recording this. I'm leaving in 2 days to go to a conference in Romania that's his, like, with him. And he documented that in his book, When the Body Says No, and it talks about that. And that was 25 years ago, and everybody thought he was a quack. And, now wow, that's like the hottest topic in functional medicine and in psychology. So, so you gave this list of poor gut health, antibiotics, stress, suppressed emotions, lack of connection, and then sedentary / indoor lifestyle.
Yeah.
I would guess that your universals of chronic illness recovery are kind of if you flip those things.
Yeah, there's a whole lot there to these sorts of things, because we could spend all day on these, but I'll just dive into some of them, because, like, I haven't even mentioned now, like, in 2017, when I started turning things around, writing a book with a former Mayo Clinic doctor, Jim Lemons, who, he was my introduction to neuroscience principles, which everybody has to have those, because it's so much broader. There's all this buzz about brain retraining on the internet, and then you look at what they're talking about, and it's just a lot of positive thinking things in a lot of cases, whereas it's breathing, it's moving, it's thinking, and it's the owner's manual for the body. And the thing is, even the healthy people, everybody needs it if they want to stay healthy. It's just they're kind of getting by implicitly without having really got out of balance.
Body's super resilient. For better or worse,
yes.
We're allowed to treat it like garbage, yeah, and most people won't get super sick for a long time. It's remarkable what our bodies are able to withstand
it's
and
so
function
cool
at
too.
Like a high level. It's like mind blowing.
Yeah. And it's cool to me too. Like the last 2 years of getting pain free and symptom free, I haven't really changed anything. I just kept doing the same stuff that I knew works. And most people are like, I got to get a new gadget. I got to get a new supplement protocols. Like most of it's really not sexy. The last 2 years, I just had to stick with it and trust it. And the body just said, well, what do you know? We're going to keep calming down because you're not offending me anymore. And just on that neuroscience side of things, like the breathing is so universal. Having a deep breathing practice is just necessary, but it gets really personal depending on where somebody is in their journey. Like if they're starting out and they just can't do anything without moving, that's where things like imagery, nerve glides.
What do you mean by imagery?
Really,
do you mean like literally imagining movement?
Yes. So like graded motor imagery stuff, the stuff like Lorimer Mosley has been working on for years, Adrian Lowe, those kinds of things where.
So the body, the physiology responds to visualizing or imagining it doing things.
Right. So just sitting there thinking about, okay, I'm going to think about sitting, not being in pain, maybe if sitting's painful. And then I'm going to think about walking and not being painful or something not triggering symptoms and such, because they're writing about pain neuroscience, but this stuff I found it works on fatigue, symptoms, all sorts of things. And it's amazing how that starts stepping outside of things like neurotags and the brain where everything's just gotten wired because you have all these concrete experiences in your life where, them moving that way or thinking that way got associated with these symptoms. So it's just going to be associated with that now.
Interesting.
And that's like the bare minimum sorts of things where you can start to shift. But not everybody needs that. Some people are still working every day and they're just like, I'm kind of uncomfortable. So you can jump in a lot later with maybe they're just got some negative thought loops going, or need to teach them about teasing their pain and symptoms within ranges so they aren't causing flare-ups, and rewiring the nervous system so it's triggering more symptoms, and they end up in that narrowing channel I was in where you can't do anything anymore because it's just flare-up from moving your eyes around.
Wow. That's really interesting. That, like, for example, is if my pain had lasted a long time and I had learned that, you know, I can't lift my left arm up over my head or it's going to cause extreme pain, you could use that to kind of visually seeing yourself or imagining imagery of lifting my right. left hand up without pain. Because over time, if that makes tons of pain, your brain knows, I'll put in quotes, that that makes tons of pain. So then it's predicting the pain. So yep. then
right.
it can it's actually make the pain. Right.
Yeah, it okay. will start it where, because, and this is where the unfortunate stuff about inventing your pain comes along, because, well, kind of, but it's not like you meant to do that.
No.
It's
yeah,
just
yeah,
a
yeah.
natural response. Okay. And whenever you know that, it gives you all the power. So I love this because you're empowered now to where, well, I'm in control of this. I can shift this around by how I think about it, how I move, and then folding in things around managing your behavior, which we'll dive into some of that stuff a little more later. And well, I'll just hop to some of these other ones too, because, oh, there's so many good things. Like the second one, this is just, okay, you'd be talking about this for a week, but addressing all sources of inflammation and mastering your triggers for your symptoms and such. And this is just totally individual. You can work on this a lot yourself, and I'm doing everything I can now, and I'm so excited because I think I've figured out how to mass produce this instead of having to do one-on-one consultations to help figure out these sorts of plans to prompt people with the right questions. But the inflammation, I see that as just addressed by those basic categories, the six I mentioned, and functional protocols. And just for some examples, for me, major protocols were things like general autoimmunity, addressing nerve health, gut parasites, mast cell activation. So, and everybody, this is where you're talking earlier. It's like everybody's got a different story with how they got here, and they are going to need to plug those holes in their own particular way. And what I mean by the triggers is, like, what sets you off? So there are so many things I've found where if you know what's setting you off, and it's not necessarily something epically bad, like your body's just perpetuating it. Maybe it's just you're out in the sun too much, you sit too much, you work too much. If you can figure out how to work within those boundaries, suddenly you've decreased some amount of inflammation that's just pouring on to your everyday. And people are saying, oh my gosh, I didn't even have to introduce a supplement. I just feel better because they figured out all these basics. So that one's a really big one too. And the third one that I didn't even really realize I was doing it because I just didn't know enough at the beginning, but opening the drainage pathways, because I think I've told you this before. I even did a supplement fast for the first 9 months of my recovery because I thought, I'm Frankenstein monster, I'm taking everything. Let's just stop and see if I get some of this stuff out. But if you start supporting your kidneys, the liver, the lymphatic system, your body's going to start taking out some of the nasty stuff that's coursing through you without necessarily having to do a really strong herbal killer protocol. And I've seen that a lot of times too, where my clients just surprised me and was like, well, I guess we didn't have to do all the fancy stuff. We just did the basics and you started getting better.
Yeah.
That's made up.
That's been like a universal theme in most episodes so far of this podcast specifically. I don't know how you just phrased it, but something about not having to go to the ultra complex because the foundational right. stuff is moving the needle. And when I was working with yeah. clients, it's been a lot of years now, 7 or 8 years, my clients were pretty complex, and a lot of them were the type that, you know, listen to our podcast and listen to lots of podcasts and read all the books and watch all the summits, and kind of probably yeah. where you were at one point of, you know, yep. trying to consume everything you can consume. And they would come to me and be like, I want to run this lab or this protocol or this thing or do this. You know, I need a protocol. I need to run these labs. I need, cause they heard about the labs on a show or whatever. And I was like, yeah. what time do you go to bed? What's your work yeah. day like? What's your relationship like with your partner? How often do you get outside? Like, what do you eat for breakfast every day? What, and I would ask them these like really foundational kind of fitting your lifestyle and breathing and moving and thinking kind of things. And they'd be all over the place with this stuff. And I was like, look, let's start there. It'll save you a bunch of money because running like 22 lab tests is really expensive. Yeah. And let's see how you feel if you do these three things for a month, you know?
Right. And I see that now where I think we talked a couple of years back and I was like, oh, it's so health is so complicated. Like it, everybody's case is complex, but I found that the map is quite simple. You can, if you can't make it simple for the person, it's not going to work in the first place. And I think you're not right.
So, I totally agree. The more elaborate and complex the protocols and instructions that I gave to people, the lower the compliance rate and the lower the success rate. Went and I put myself in their shoes. I couldn't do 21 things at once that somebody just gave me. Like, there's no way I'd be able to do that. And I was the one giving it to them.
It's every once in a while a complex is needed. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't say every once in a while. It's more like I've got a couple of programs coming out that I've been working on for over a year that hit on all these universals I'm going to talk about here. And I think that really covers like 80% of recoveries. And then there's
the folks like you mentioned that are doing the foundational things and they need more support. They need more help. But I think a lot of people hit these foundations
but they still need the foundation is the point there. They have to have it because that stuff's not going to work. The complex won't work if the simple's not.
So you mentioned addressing inflammation, identifying triggers, opening drainage pathways. What else?
So next, diet. That's such an obvious thing. And this absolutely has to be personalized to your context. Like, for example, for me, autoimmune protocol at the beginning. Then I went to a keto space trying to look at nerve health. And now I'm just moderate carb because that fuels my workouts. But that's just such an enormous subject. Then the next thing you started talking about some of these too. This is number five, the walking and correcting postural insufficiencies and some form of strength training because movement's just necessary. Nothing's going to happen right if the body's not moving. And just having improper movement patterns can cause so many crazy symptoms throughout the entire body. I have people telling me like, oh, my headaches, oh, my GI stuff. And we just start working on their spinal alignment and their gait. And suddenly their GI is improving and their headaches are going away.
Interesting.
And their body looks better in the mirror. And it's these little shifts on things like, how are you holding your body? Maybe you're like me where you like my mom says, oh, you were chasing your brother, so you stood up way before he did. Maybe those muscles just never really developed, and I had these horrible footfalls, and what do you know, I develop all sorts of pelvic floor dysfunction. It's probably a root cause, now that I think about it. So those movement patterns are so important, and if you get those worked out, then suddenly you can get up to the strength building, which I am convinced that is as important as anything for me getting pain-free. Because I've added about 30 pounds of lean mass since I started tracking DEXAs a couple of years ago, because it's just so atrophied. There was nothing there from not moving. It's pretty easy to start adding some mass, but just knowing how much muscle mass combats inflammation, activates your T cells, and can help combat autoimmunity. And I've seen it over and over with my clients, even no matter what they're doing, even if it's 1 pounders with curls, it's making a difference.
Yeah, but I've it's all relative, man. It's all relative. Like what do a lifting 1 pounders with curls do when you were at your worst? Would have been outside your range of what you could do. And now you would do that for like 3 hours and be like, okay, when do we work out? But it's all relative. And the exercise benefits are so much more wide ranging than people think. They think like, oh, I'm going to get in shape or oh, I'll get stronger. But like it increases, you know, things that go to the brain and help brain health. And Kieran just taught us on the last time I had a webinar with him that the muscles make something called myokines when you do strength training and the microbiome likes these and it has a positive effect on your microbiome diversity. And it's something that comes from the muscles when you work out. So it like literally hits every, oh, that's awesome. And the movement helps with the lymphatic and the drainage and the, and everything else. So it's like, I think a lot of functional health practitioners completely overlook exercise and movement as like a thing and being able to cater it to the person. Like obviously if somebody is really sick or in a lot of pain, like this could be like getting up and walking from the living room to the kitchen, to the bedroom and back and sitting down.
Absolutely.
And then doing that again in a few hours. Like,
right. I know at the beginning it was stand up. That was my starter. Like, well, you said all day, so just standing and we're going to set a timer and I'm going to lean up against the wall. But just getting that body moving. And then the sixth point, and I'm increasingly realizing that this is probably the most poorly understood part of recovery. It's just building an unbreakable mindset for getting through things. And it's just such an enormous subject. It's one of the reasons why I've been working for over a year on a course, is trying to reverse engineer what helped me survive the all those years and all those symptoms. But in short, it's about always being focused on what you can do instead of what you can't do, because you just start getting this negative biochemistry going, like, ah, new symptom, further down this track, this is getting worse and worse, and you're just pouring cortisol and adrenaline, catecholamines, just adding inflammation. And at first, if you're just thinking about what you can do, maybe that's not even a positive that's getting you the good biochemistry, the endorphins, the serotonin, the dopamine and whatnot. Maybe it's just getting your mind off the bad, and the absence of that bad is something that can help you feel better. So, and having something just always on the horizon that you want after you're getting your health back, like there's no way I keep going if I don't think about the fact that it's like, I want to have a job. There's all this stuff I've never done. I want to have a family. I want to have really good relationships. And I think that gets missed in this space a lot too, because people are just so focused on their health. I want my health back. Well, you want your health back to do what? If you have that, then you're going to have this fire that's going to keep you going whenever you have flare-ups, all sorts of things, because there's never going to be just like this perfect recovery where everything's super duper. No. And we can say more about this definitely toward the end, where more interventions.
Okay, what's after that? What's after then, mindset for you?
So last two are super fast here. Infrared sauna. I find that just so useful. I stand by. That was the one health tool that was useful for me the entire way, because you're just hitting things like improving detoxification. It helps desensitize heat sensitivity, which so many of the autoimmune people are dealing with. It can help with neuropathy, the nerve endings. If you're not feeling like getting outside, if it's infrared, you're getting that spectrum. So I think that's a really useful tool as well. And then I throw this last one in. It's not really a universal, but I just have to say this because it was helpful to me. So helpful to getting here. And it is necessary for some, is the extended water fasting side of things. Because I did 18 of those 5-day water fasts. I couldn't afford the stem cell injections, so I thought, well, I can try and generate them this way. And I have no doubt that that helped shift a lot of things, because just seeing that first time only getting an hour of improvement, I was like, well, nothing was really working. And now I haven't needed to do them nearly as much. I was doing them monthly. I've done one in a little more than 2 years, because the funny thing is they kind of bring stuff back, because it's so hard to be starved. But it's like, I wanted to keep my streak going, so I didn't do one. And it's funny to me now that it was a necessary part of me getting over the hump. But like, my streak of pain-free didn't start until like almost 2 months after the last one. I got a pain-free day right afterwards, but then I went on vacation and lost it, but it just kept going from the habit. So I just like mentioning that one. It's not universal, but it's one of those things where most of my clients have not needed that, but it's out there as a tool. So those are the main things there.
I love infrared sauna. I had one before we moved from the States, and it's like the one thing I owned that I had to lose when I moved, that I was really sad about and that I miss more than any other thing, because we got rid of all our stuff. I moved with like 2 suitcases, and I used to go in it every single day, and I miss it dearly. Your video looks frozen. Or am I frozen?
Ah, there we go.
Okay. You were frozen or I was frozen. Hold on, let me clap. This gives the editors a thing on the audio to see.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I really miss... Did you hear that? The infrared sauna?
Yeah.
Okay. Just respond to that a tiny bit, and then we'll go to the next thing.
Yeah, I love the infrared sauna, too. It's my happy place. Try and get in there 5 times a week. It's a good place to
do. It does so much, too. Like it's, I think we're just starting to really understand, too, because I just interviewed Carrie Bennett, who's a world-class educator on quantum biology and like light, and she talks about how infrared actually increases, expands what's called exclusion zones in the body, exclusions, easy water, which is like the holder of electrons for our energy production on a subcellular atomic level. And that there's a reason why we feel so good with infrared is that it's doing this for us. And that's morning sunlight, evening sunlight, and infrared saunas. And I heard that and I'm like, man, that's why I felt so awesome when I went in that thing all the time.
Yeah.
But, so what do you, so this is your pretty solid list of steps. But where do you start with people?
Right. So that's obviously knowing that these things have to go in there. Now you got to curate this list. So the nervous system stuff has to be there at the beginning. You just have to teach around how you're moving, how to think about this, the deep breathing techniques, because that's all calming the nervous system down to make everything else work. And some real basic things, like you can't overlook diet at the beginning either. And that just depends on the person. Maybe it's just one food you're changing whenever you see what's the right thing for them. Just not doing a whole bunch there at first, making it work for them. So that's super important too. And then just getting some kind of gentle movement. You definitely need to be doing that. Usually that's in the top three of things, and that makes the lymphatics start to work too, and the mindset work. So those things, I'm putting that in there because not everybody can get to the infrared sauna, for instance, or Fortit, that kind of thing. And if you're just thinking a bit more positively about the situation, I love that boot camp that I take people through. If we're going to examine your thoughts and see what's like your top 10 hit list of the negative things going through your head. And we're going to come up with some counters for this because I'm a master of this at this point. I catch myself, I say mid-sentence and my thoughts where starts to be like, oh, what the... No, I won't let myself go there because I know this is going to be bad. It's like, that's a useless thought. How can I think about this a little more positively? So that's the order of things. And you start stepping up from there to increase the interventions, the intensity of things, and keep pulling in the other ones where you can.
That's a great starting point. And the nervous system stuff you in your course you're making, it gets into tons and tons of detail about that, and you can really teach people because you've been there, like you've been to where that's an absolute necessity. And our nervous systems get and I've kind of been studying it from a different side of nervous system dysregulation for the last lot of years, but I think that's 10 years ago the microbiome was like the frontier of functional health development.
Yeah.
Like that was like the next big thing. And I think that now that's really very well studied and very well established. And a lot of practitioners are very up to date on it. And there's all kinds of interventions and things that are well known to help. And,
right.
And the public even knows the term microbiome, like things like
that's leaky gut.
leaky gut. Like that term 10 years ago was like, I would say that and people look at me like I was a freak, but now that's no longer the edge or the next thing. And I think now like nervous system, breathing, trauma, like those things, because when somebody wants to know, like, what does the brain even influence? Literally every single other thing.
Yeah.
And so if the brain and the nervous system is wired for you to be in a danger state, I mean, that we've had 2 or 3 guests even get into like the cell danger response, which is if you want to get really deep into the biochemistry, when the nervous system's dysregulated it. And when we think we're in danger, when the body thinks it's in danger, a whole bunch of physiology changes.
Right.
And I'm sure that that has a lot to do with the chronic pain and those, the negative thoughts and the stress and all these things, like, make the body think it's in danger. And
it's not going to repair.
And like doing the diet and doing the supplements and doing the, even the movement would be really hard to do, but doing a lot of these things, if that is, you know, we'll use a really technical term here, wonky, those other things are going to be far less impactful, right? Like, are you seeing that? Like, the nervous right. system is where you start with people to set the, like, foundation right. for...
And I should even say about order, too. It's why I've structured my course around science of it at first. Just let's understand why this matters. Because if you're not convinced of it, it's not going to do much for you. And then the breathing first, that makes everything easier. Then I find the movement makes it next easier, and then the thinking. And a lot of people start with the thinking. It's like, oh, it's your stinking thinking. It's like, well, it's really hard to calm your thinking down if you're in a panic attack. You need to have some tools in place first. And if you lower the floor on the nervous system arousal, suddenly the thinking becomes easier. And it's not always necessarily all your thinking. Maybe your food's inflaming you too. But that's why it's like I'm making two courses in tandem. Like, I'm putting so much into the first one. It's 30 modules of things that I've now worked one-on-one intensively, sometimes daily, with clients to just perfect the method to try and systematize this. That I put it into 30 modules now, trying to just calm the nervous system down, figure out how to manage all these things, figure out where your flares are coming from, structure your day differently, just so many things around that. And then the second one, I just think of them as almost companion pieces, call it foundation first, because it's the six categories. It's going into the diet, the stress, the exercise, and providing tons of resources. And I'm most excited that I've basically created the curated paths where, oh, you're like this, you're a stage one. Here's the path that makes the most sense for you. Or here's a little quiz to help you figure out on the diet side, like which one do you even pick at the beginning? Because for the longest time, I thought I can't possibly get out of one-on-one work. It's so complicated. It's like, well, let's make it so there's a system. There are actually patterns here. And I'm really pleased with how it's gotten systematized. And to fill in the gaps, I'm starting a podcast too, a weekly podcast, going with Recover Your Health to try and just get as much information out there as possible to make all this work.
It's really cool to see. And I've kind of gotten to see like kind of the evolution from where you were a couple of years ago to what you're doing now. And,
yeah.
And the ability to systemize it, I think, and find the patterns is... You know, it comes from the experience, both yourself and with enough other people, to seeing those kind of patterns, to be able to identify them. I think that I kind of picked that stuff up over time too, and started to see commonalities, between people and between situations and contributing factors that are patterns and, symptom clusters that are kind of patterns. And then, right. Like for you, types of pain. I never worked with severe chronic pain people. I didn't have like the nervous system tools to do it. So, but type of pain can be an indicator of which tools might be helpful for that person or where they're at. And the breathing goes so far. I mean, I've done a lot of study of breath work and breathing. Mine's been more focused on like trauma resolution and a specific modality of breathing. But I've also done some study with Patrick McKeown, who is the head of the Buteyko Clinic.
Yeah.
And his Oxygen Advantage training is something I'm involved with too. So they're both, if you listen to Patrick and read his books, and he's one of his books had 980 citations in it. So this isn't like his opinion. I have his
breathing
for... Oh, I don't know. It's up there. Whatever's the biggest book up there is Breathing for Yoga, and I have The Breathing Cure. And I've interviewed him a couple times, and he knows his stuff. And so this isn't his opinion, but it will turn the way you think about breathing on your head when you listen to that guy and go into those over-breathing versus under-breathing and shallow breathing versus deep breathing. Yeah, I was like, okay, everything I thought I knew was wrong. And... the impact that the way we breathe, I think it's the fastest way to influence your physiology one way or another.
I agree, especially when you're mastered at it, because I feel like I can tell a brain state change at this point from doing deep breathing, where it's like I'm suddenly mellow, my eyes don't want to move anymore, it's kind of like a nap, and it's going to be hard to get back from this, and then I'm going to be recharged. But it really is so powerful. And when you think about something you're doing tens of thousands of times a day, that's a really powerful biochemical change. And just thinking about universals too, like I'm thinking about why I said that too, because I purposefully did never niche in my work, because I thought I just want to see everything and see, does this work for every kind of chronic illness, all kinds of chronic pain? And whenever I kept getting all the results, like, this is when it's time to make a system out of all this. I kind of just knew from living through it and naming it into specifics, that's where now it can be much more effective. And that's definitely want to give people a few more things just to get a little more specific to go into those.
Yeah, we don't have a ton more time, but you can get into whatever you want to either give them some specific,
just
a few specific practices or a few specific tools that you like the most for folks. This would be a good time for those.
Sure. So just three things here pretty quickly. The first one is just how important your thinking is, not just in the negative thought space, but just having that integrated way of looking at your entire life, because that affects so much. We've talked a lot about this, but just if you can start by writing down the activities from your entire day, including the things you take for granted, you're probably going to come up with some things you can change. Like whenever I get people doing this, I'll walk them through and they'll say, oh, a groan when I wake up, think about how much I dread the day. Then I get out of the bed and walk to the bathroom, eat breakfast. It's like, okay, I heard a few things that can change there. Whereas they probably wouldn't even have told you that, and they wouldn't even thought about it. And sometimes I have to dig a little deeper. Like, do you go when you wake up? That's one of my favorites to say something like that. And so it's writing down your activities, breaking down what you're doing during the activities. Like, I had to put a mirror in front of myself while I was on the computer to realize, wow, this is why I'm getting a headache all the time, because I'm going back into my old curled up mode. So there are a lot of ways that if you just check what you're doing during your activities, this is some of the stuff that's triggering you in the first place for your the inflammation cycle. And I just think of things like, for me, were you in the sun too long? Did you have a conversation that was too long? There are so many things. Talking is just sneaky stressful for many conditions. It's hard on the nervous system. Anybody that has a talking job will tell you, like, oh, I'm burnt after doing this. And then were there just like a lot of constant low-level stressors? Because most people think, oh, the world blew up yesterday, that was stress, but then the rest of it wasn't. Like, if you had 20 low-level stressors, that's going to blow you up too. And even things like, were allergies high on that day? And whenever you have all these things put together, you can suddenly start to see a bit more about your limits and start making better, more educated choices about how much you're going to exert. Like, maybe you're not going to try the same stuff you did yesterday. Maybe you're not going to try that borderline food to push the line. Maybe you're not going to do that same level of exercise, because a lot of the neuroscience stuff tells you to keep pushing the line. But if you lose touch of where you are on a day, you're going to just flare things back up again. So that's a few things there just about keeping track of your day a little bit more. And then a second thing is more around the mindset stuff. Tell people, get on the value train. Just like I said earlier, trying to fill your life with as many valuable activities and people that you can. And the purpose, and if you're working towards something, you're going to create such a biochemical storm on your side that it's going to feel great. I always tell that anecdote. As soon as I could move out of my parents' house, my pain went down 2 numbers. I was just so happy.
With my wife's pain, with the autoimmunity, when she had a doctor, we switched doctors to Dr. Eric Gordon, who's been on the podcast a couple of times, who's pretty brilliant. The first meeting with him, at the end of the meeting, he said, I'm going to sign your disability form from work so that you can be off for 8 weeks. She was an ER nurse at the time during the pandemic. And the next day, her pain was probably conservatively 50% less, maybe more, probably more than 50% less, but at least 50% less. And that was just from knowing that she hadn't even had a day off yet. That was just knowing that days off and rest was coming, and that she had a doctor who like saw her and understood her and knew that she needed a break, to where the conventional doctor was saying, like, there's no study that shows that time off work is going to make you feel better. And just knowing that she had like somebody on her side, and then knowing that the rest was coming, her body like reacted to that. Right. And I thought it was incredible.
It's so cool to see, because just, I don't even know that it's that useful anymore to separate mind and body, because there's just a reaction between both regardless of what happens. And that's why I tell people too, a lot of people start dreaming about where they want to get to, and that's awesome. But you have to have a step toward it too. It has to be thinking and doing, and it doesn't have to be huge. Like just one step. Maybe it literally is one step. You're walking one step, just something toward that to get the whole mind body integration going and just firing all that stuff up. And of course, got to work through the grief of what you've been through and accept the situation before you can even start thinking there. But yeah, there's just so much there. Like whenever I realized I needed to put that in the course, it just ended up being so enormous, because there's so much you can talk about, because there's thoughts around limitations and trying to deal with those. And I know there's always something available to you, even if you're bedbound. You can plan novels like I did for my retirement year.
When are those coming out? Still,
oh, when I retire. Okay. So maybe never, but we'll see. And I always tell people too, you're never too old. I got one guy that he started when he was 92, getting rid of his pain, and now he's a day trader. So it's like never too old to have a future. But yeah, those are some of the things there. And the third thing is, it's more of an expansion around just protein and muscle. See, this is so important. Unless you have like a condition, like a neurological problem or an intense like blood sugar problem, and a keto diet makes the most sense, or you can't digest protein well due to your gut dysfunction, getting protein up to around 70 to 80% of body weight. I am amazed how many times just getting those amino acids in there.
What measurement are you using there for, since I moved overseas, I mix metric and imperial. So like,
I gotcha.
When you say 70% of body weight, what do you mean?
So 70-80% in grams per pound of body weight. Okay. So just getting up into that range, it's quite a bit there, but just inching up toward that, even if it seems like too much, I've seen that make a tremendous difference. And like I said, that muscle tissue, some kind of strength training in the really severe states, unfortunately, you can't get there at the very beginning. So you got to work on other stuff, but anybody else that can get there, wow. And I always have to mention too that it was exceedingly painful for me for 2 years. But that was one of the things where, why I like starting with understanding. I knew the benefits it could have, so I stuck with it. And eventually I got down to the gym. I was like, you know, it kind of got rid of my symptoms today. And now you couldn't pull me away, because it keeps everything away. But yeah, that's a pretty brief one. So those are three things that I just have seen be so useful in particular for people over and over.
Super helpful, man. And there's so much more. And I know I've seen kind of behind the curtain of one of your courses, so I can speak to what you're creating, and it's really cool, and it's going to help tons of people.
Ah, thanks.
And I'm so excited. We'll let everybody know when it's coming out. But it's, again, I kind of want to like come back to where we started, that it's really not...
Sure.
Awesome that you had to go through all of that stuff, and that's an understatement. It's horrific, and like nobody deserves to go through that. And then you've turned it into this mission to like really share everything that you learned, and you're turning into the person and the resource that you needed, and that kind of wasn't present. So you gobbled up all this stuff and all this experience and all this knowledge and all these things, and now you're kind of delivering it back out into the world in a way that can be really helpful for people. And I think that, you know, it's really cool to see. And it's really inspirational for people. Cause if you can, I mean, I see your pictures now, he's always like rock climbing and lifting weights and out having like tacos and a glass of wine. And I see your pictures and I'm like, man, he didn't used to be able to do literally any, even taking the pictures of doing that stuff would have been too much. Like taking the picture of somebody else doing those things would have triggered too much pain. And now you're doing those things. And so you shouldn't ever run into a client telling you, I don't think I can get better, and being able to believe it if they know where you've been.
Cases. It's just, I've seen it over and over. Tremendous recoveries are totally possible. And if you, it should be the norm. Like, my goal is what happened to me is normal for everybody, because I've just seen it over and over. To come back from those things, ultimately I don't want anybody to have to go through it in the first place, but I do think that this can become the norm, and I just couldn't be more bullish on the prospects for people recovering from chronic health problems now. And just one last thing here, it's amazing to me now just the power of the values in my life, that it does really suck that I went through all that, but it's amazing how much it doesn't matter anymore. Like, it doesn't even occur to me, because my life is just so good and I'm going to have all these great years now. So it's like, that's where I'm at. That's always where my mind's at now. I'm going to have some really great stuff because I already have so much great stuff.
That's great, man. And keep going. And we're going to be happy to support you when you release those courses and let people know about them. And I'm just, it's really exciting to see and really inspirational, and helping people, helps people take inventory of how far they've come too. So I'm sure we'll talk again soon. And I appreciate the time, and good luck on the podcast launch and the courses and everything.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'll just point people toward my email list for now on my website.
Yeah. We'll have the links down below. What is, just say it out loud for the people that are listening and not looking at the notes.
Sure. Recoverfromchronicillness.com. You can find an email sign up at the bottom of the page there, and there will be lots
on YouTube.
Of information to come. Yeah.
So you can find him on YouTube.
Thank you so much. Always so good talking with you, Michael. Big hugs.
Likewise. Thank you.